Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Engaging in Gospel Ministry, from the series Stronger, and explores how Paul's example teaches us about the sacrifices required in gospel ministry. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I want to encourage you to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to be starting in verse 15 and we'll finish the chapter this morning. And as we've been talking and going through the book, 1 Corinthians, we've been talking about how to grow as a stronger disciple of Jesus Christ and what that looks like and how we do that. And what Paul began to spell out in chapter 8 was our liberties that we have in Christ. And it was in relation to food sacrificed to idols. And while we really don't aren't concerned with food that is sacrificed to idols, many of us as a Christian want to know that since I'm freed up in Christ now, what is it I can and can't do? What do I participate in? What do I not participate in? And Paul talked all throughout chapter 8 that while he had liberties to do certain things, that because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, many times he relinquished his right for his liberties in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In chapter 9, what he's begun to do is he's begun to put together a understanding from his own experience of what he had rights for personally, but what he chose not to do. And so last week, the title of the message was Paying Your Pastor. Now, some of you lucked out because it was a snowstorm, but that's what we preached on for those of you that were here last week. And it takes a lot of courage to talk about that because what Paul was saying was that he had rights as an apostle, as one who was ministering on God's behalf to this group of people to be remunerated for his services, to be compensated for that. And now what he's going to talk about is how he never cashed in on that right. How he never took advantage of that right because the gospel was so powerful, he didn't want anything to get in the way of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to talk about today is engaging in gospel ministry. What does it look like for you? What does it look like for me to be all in with Jesus with this understanding of what the gospel is? So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 15, we'll take a look at three things today that the gospel requires us to relinquish or let go of, things that we might be entitled to, but we're going to choose not to do because we want to make sure we're living our best for Jesus. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, right after he says, even the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should get their living from the gospel. Even after Jesus himself says, hey, Jesus says I should get paid by you. Here's what Paul responds. He says, but I have used none of these things and I'm not writing these things so it will be done in my case, for it would be better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if it against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge so as to not make full use of my right in the gospel. And there you see in those first four verses what engaging the gospel ministry requires you to relinquish. And the first thing it requires you to relinquish if you're going to engage in gospel ministry is compensation. It's compensation. Relinquishing the right to compensation because of a compelling from God that cannot be successfully opposed. I'm going to relinquish my right for compensation because of a compelling from God that cannot be successfully opposed. Notice what he says. He says, but I've used none of these things. I have a right. He's gone through all of his reasons why he should be paid. The scriptures say he should be paid. Jesus said he should be paid. All the Old Testament priests and prophets, they were compensated for their work. He's like, I have every right to expect to be paid from you because of what I'm doing in your midst. Yet I didn't take advantage of any of these rights. I relinquished these rights to compensation for the sake of the gospel and why I'm compelled. And notice what he says. And I'm not writing these things so that it will be done in my case, for it would be better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one. In other words, here's what he's saying. He's like, I never said you owe me. I never said you need to give me something. As a matter of fact, we read last week from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8, I believe it was, where Paul says, I robbed from other churches so that I could preach the gospel to you. And he said, and I'm not writing this to you now so that you'll feel bad or that you'll cluster a group together and say, well, okay, let's give Paul something. Let's take a special love offering. He goes, because I'd rather die than to have anybody in the church take away my ability to boast in bringing you the gospel for free. Now you might say, well, Christians don't boast. Why is he boasting? Boasting can mean to rejoice in or to celebrate. And let me tell you what Paul's celebrating. Paul is celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ has given him the opportunity to preach the gospel free of charge to the Corinthians. He's given him the opportunity of being supported by some other churches so that he can do it. And what Paul doesn't want to be robbed of is somebody sitting in the church in Corinth saying, the only reason he did this is because we gave him a good honorarium. The only reason he did this is because my wife and I wrote him a check and that's why he felt good about it. He's like, you can't rob me of my boast. My boast is this. Jesus Christ brought me to you. Jesus Christ took care of me so I could bring it to you. I did it free of charge. I proclaimed the gospel so that you could clearly hear it. And notice what he says next. He says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. Can I tell you this? Preachers can't boast. Good preachers can't boast. Do you know why? Because all a good preacher is doing is communicating clearly what God has already established. Good preachers aren't making stuff up. Good preachers are standing and boldly proclaiming what God has already revealed to us through his word. I mean, there's these two words that float around in our day and age. They get put together. I don't get them. It says something like this, celebrity preacher. Like, what the heck is that? Like, a preacher's not to be celebrated. What a preacher's communicating to the extent he's faithful to the word is what's to be celebrated. Paul says, if I'm preaching the gospel, let me tell you something. I didn't create the gospel. I didn't invent the gospel. I didn't make the gospel happen. I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm not doing any, I can't boast in that. I'm just telling you the gospel. That's what he says. But notice what he says next. For I am under compulsion, for woe is to me if I do not preach the gospel. Now, compulsion means this. It's a necessity. It's an obligation. It's I have to do this, right? We talked last week about calling and two parts of calling. And the first was that there's this divine compulsion that I can do nothing else. This is what I must do. I have to do this. I could do other things. I could be successful at other things, but this is the one thing I must do. And then the second part of calling is that the church would say, yeah, we see that in you. We see that gifting in you. Everybody sees that. That's what's true, right? That's calling. And Paul says, I'm under compulsion. Now, if you look at your notes, like the way I wrote this was, you know, Paul's relinquishing his rights for compensation because of a compelling from God that cannot be successfully opposed. Meaning this, he can't get away from it. The word I had in my notes originally was the word thwarted. But I turned my notes in to see if people can understand them. But nobody seemed to know what the word thwarted meant. And thwarted means to be successfully opposed. It means this. If God's called me to do something in his kingdom, I can try to do any number of other things. But guess what? At the end of the day, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I can't oppose God. I mean, do you remember Jeremiah in the Old Testament? Very unfortunate calling. He was the one voice in the entire nation that stood up. And here's what he preached every single time. Same message every week, same message every day. Imminent judgment's coming. You've disobeyed the Lord. You need to repent. God's bringing his judgment. It's imminent. And every other priest in the day was saying what? Peace, 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 peace. And God was saying, but Jeremiah, there is no peace. You're the one person standing for me. And every time Jeremiah stood up and preached this message, it was not received well. Many times he was put in stocks or thrown into a cistern or any number of things. And so he was like, I'm done with this preaching thing. I don't like communicating the message to God's people that God's people don't want to hear. You know, but what did he say in Jeremiah 20? But God's word is like a fire in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Here's what Jeremiah was dealing with. I'm not preaching this imminent judgment thing again. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. And then he opened his mouth and said, judgment is coming, right? He couldn't help it. Or what about Jonah? Remember Jonah in the Old Testament? God calls Jonah. What's he called Jonah to do? Go to Nineveh to tell people about my love for them. So what's he do? He hops the next ship to go to Tarshish in the exact opposite direction. I ain't doing that. People in Nineveh don't deserve the grace of God. They're not worthy of that. So what does God do? Fine. I'll send a storm. You'll get thrown in the water. I'll swallow you with a fish. I'll let you repent. Then I'm going to spit you out on land. And then does he go willingly? No. He goes because he knows he has to. He opens his mouth. He preaches the word. The hundreds of thousands get saved. And what happens? Chapter 4. He's mad about it.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Engaging in Gospel Ministry, from the series Stronger, exploring how Paul's example teaches us about the sacrifices required in gospel ministry. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
He's mad about it. Greatest revival in Old Testament history. What's he like? I knew you were like this, God, saving Ninevites. They don't deserve that. Right? When there's a divine compulsion, you're going to do what God wants you to do, whether you want to do it or not. And Paul's saying, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel, because Paul understands this, that one day, just like me and you, he's going to stand before the resurrected Christ in all of his glory to give an account for what God the Father, through his Son and empowered by the Holy Spirit, poured into him. And he's going to give an accounting for that. And Paul says this, I'm coming to preach to you, not because I was sitting around one day and saw a catalog of Corinth and said, hey, that'd be cool to go there and maybe speak a little bit. I'm here because God compelled me to come. The message I'm preaching to you is from God. And woe to me if I don't do that, because I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ himself to give an account for what he's called me to do. So I'm relinquishing my rights to compensation. Now, can I just pause here for a second? Because for those of you that are sitting here, it's like, well, I'm not a preacher. I really don't get paid for my work. What's all this compensation talk? Let me tell you how you can be compensated in the church without money. Let me tell you how a lot of you want to be compensated. Here's how you want to be compensated. I want to be known. I want to have accolades. I want people to recognize how special I am. I want a badge. I want to be called a leader. I want people to recognize me. Here's what you're doing. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're relinquishing all your rights to be known. You're relinquishing all your rights to be affirmed. You're relinquishing all your rights to be paid. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is more important than what you get on this side of heaven. That's what Paul's saying. So I'm relinquishing my rights to be compensated, to be recognized, to be known, because God's compelled me to do this. Now, notice this next verse. It may sound confusing, but it's really not. Paul says, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. Here's what he's saying. If I was sitting around and I just decided, hey, I think I'll just go preach, that's my reward. If I decide, God, here's what I'm going to do for you, that's my reward, right? But if against my will, now what does it mean against my will? Well, Paul willingly did it. What does it mean against his will? It means this, apart from meeting the resurrected Christ, there's no way he's in Corinth preaching the gospel. Paul had other plans for his life, but when Jesus Christ got a hold of him, here's what he said. My life is no longer my own. My life is Christ. Whatever he wants me to do and however he wants me to live, that's what I want to do. And so he's compelling me to do this, and I'm not doing it for rewards. I'm not doing this thing voluntarily. I'm doing it because I have to, because God's given a stewardship to me. In other words, God's entrusted me with something he's holding me accountable to. Now, we have volunteers in our church, so let me just clarify. Pastor Jeff, you always talk about volunteers. You want people to volunteer. We have a lot of people in our church that volunteer. Is volunteering wrong? No, but it's the motivation behind volunteering that's important. In other words, if all you do is decide, I'm gonna help here, I'm gonna help here, I'm gonna help here, I'm gonna help here. I just like helping. That's not what God's looking for. Here's what God's looking for. He saved you and he gifted you with a certain gift. At least one, if not more than one. And here's what he's saying. I'm calling you to use your gift to build the body of Christ so that my name can be known throughout all the city, throughout the entire nation, and throughout the entire world. And I'm giving you something that I'm entrusting you to, that one day I'm holding you accountable to. So what are you doing with that? See, so that's not like a volunteer, like I'm doing this because it's so fun. It's this. God's entrusted this to me, and woe to me if I don't serve with the gifts God's given me. See, that kind of volunteer has the right motivation, because inevitably, no matter where you volunteer or no matter what you do to volunteer, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna get tired, and you're gonna get weary, and you're gonna be unrecognized, and you're gonna ask yourself the question, why am I doing this anymore? And if your only reason is because I'm a good person and I like to volunteer, you'll quit. Or you'll need a break. And I'm not talking about refreshing yourself. I'm talking about give me 3 years off. But if you have a compelling of God saying, I've gifted you with this, then you're no longer serving for others. You're serving for the Lord, and you're doing it so that even if nobody else notices you, God notices you, and you're gonna use your ministry to glorify him. That's why Paul's saying, I'm not doing this because I volunteered. God chose me, I didn't choose him. And because he chose me and invested in me, woe to me if I don't do this. God's just given me a stewardship, and I'm gonna manage it to the best of my ability to the glory of God. That's what he's saying. So then he asks the question that he's asking in verse 18, what then is my reward? I mean, how do I get rewarded for this thing? Here's what he says, that when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge so as to not make full use of my right in the gospel. What's his reward? His reward is that one day he's gonna get to stand before Jesus and he's gonna get to say this, I completed what you wanted me to do. I did what you called me to do to the best of my ability. And yeah, I failed at times. And yeah, I didn't always get it right, but I was focused on what you called me to do. That's my reward. And my reward I'm not living for in this life. My reward is so that I hear the words of Jesus Christ say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important to me. I want nothing to get in the way of that. I don't want people to miss out on knowing Jesus because I was so worried about other people recognizing me. I don't care if they recognize me as long as they hear Jesus. That's why I love testimonies. You know, people, and they were visiting a church, or I was down in Texas, or I was out in Washington, and I heard a preacher. I really don't remember who it was or what was said, but the gospel became clear to me, and I trusted Christ. That's a great testimony. See, Christ is the testimony. Now, can I tell you about the gospel? Because I'm about ready to get really fired up right now. Because most of us, we miss out on what the gospel is. Most people that come to church kind of get the back half of the gospel. And the back half of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and was raised from the dead. And if you believe in him, you can have eternal life. And that's the back half of the gospel. But let me ask you this question. If Jesus saves, let me ask you this question. What did Jesus save you from? What's your answer? What did he save you from? Because there's a lot of people that come to church that say they're saved, but if you ask church people that question, and what are you saved from? They would say, I don't know. I'm not really, I guess, from living a bad life. So let me tell you the whole gospel. Because if you miss out on the front part of the gospel, there's really no gospel. Gospel means good news. If you miss out on the truth, then there's no good news in the gospel. So let me just tell you the truth. See, here's where the gospel starts. The gospel starts with you being separated from God. That's where it starts. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when you look at your life, you can see different ways that you've sinned from the time that you came out of the womb. Some of you in the world's eyes, it's worse than others. I get all that. But those are just symptoms of what's truly wrong in your life. Those sins that you list and some you're really ashamed of and some aren't as big of a deal, those are just symptoms. Here's what the Bible says. Your condition in your heart, your heredity of sin is your problem. What's coming out is just an effect of that. It would be like this. If I looked and I had lesions on my arm or some sort of itch, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily just go and put calamine lotion on, because if I had something that was internal that was the problem, if it doesn't get fixed internally, it doesn't matter how much anti-itch cream I put on, I still have a problem. Here's the problem. It's not that you've done bad things, as I've said before, it's that you are a bad thing. Do you get it? You have the sin virus. Here's what happens when you have it. You die. It is a guarantee for every single person that's alive. I mean, every baby that you hold in a nursery, they're dead. They're going to die. It's a fact. That's the problem of sin. That's your number one problem. You might be like in the world's eyes, like a good person and philanthropic and all, but here's the problem. You have a condition in your life that's sinful. You're dead. That's what the Bible says. Here's fact number two. There's a penalty for your sin. See, every single person is going to die and after that stand judgment before the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first one that you will see, let me tell you what happens when you breathe your last breath. The first thing you will see is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see him exposed in all of his glory. And here's what happens for those who have never trusted in him, who die in their sin. Here's the words that they're going to hear. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you evildoer. I never knew you. We never had a relationship. I created you, I loved you, but you never came to me. Get out, right? And hell is a real place where real people go every single day by the thousands or by the hundreds of thousands, right? See, this is what Paul believed. Paul believed that every single person he saw had either trusted in Christ or they didn't trust in Christ. Here's the thing you need to get your arms around. You're dead and you're facing an eternal penalty for your sin. That's where the gospel starts. If you don't believe that, I'm gonna tell you what you're not. You are not a Christian. You can call yourself whatever you want. Because if you don't believe that, then what's Jesus gonna save you from? See, there's a fact of sin, there's a penalty of sin, and then guess what? There's the payment of sin. Praise the Lord that God the Father sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin who never ever sinned, who fulfilled the law in every way. And then what Jesus did is God the Father took all of your sin and punished his own son to death for you. That Jesus Christ stood in your place, that he took nails in his hands and in his feet, that he shed his blood, that he breathed his last, that he said, it is finished, and he died for you. And so every way that God the Father treated his son was supposed to be how you were treated, but God in his great love for you paid the penalty for his son to take the blame. That's point three. Guess what point four is? That ain't enough either, because the devil believes all that. Here's point number four. You must repent of your sin, which is this internal heredity, and say, I don't want to be dead anymore, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. Meaning, I want to turn from this life of sin, and I want Jesus to save me. Save me from what? Save me from hell, save me from judgment, save me from my sin, save me from myself. I want him. And when you repent of your sin and you trust Christ, then you are a new creation. The Bible calls that moment being born again. Now, let me just explain something to you really quick. Because for some of you that are sitting here, I know what you're saying. I've never had that experience. That's just spooky. I've kind of always believed in Jesus. Let me tell you something. You haven't always believed in Jesus. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins. God's wrath started out upon you. The penalty of sin is coming. You are going to die. So when in your life did you trust Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins and crossing over and placing your faith and trust in him? Because if you haven't done that, here's what you're not. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. You can go to church your whole life and say, well, I believe in Jesus, and still go to hell for all eternity because you've never turned from your sins and turned to Christ. It's not what you say, it's what you believe, and it's who you believe in. So here's my question. When did it happen for you? When did that happen? Because here's what you need to know. Well, that never really happened, but I know it'll be okay. In heaven, just so that you know, every single person that's in heaven now and every single person that will ever be in heaven will be able to clearly say, I know I'm a sinner. I knew God's wrath was on me and was going to hell. I believe Jesus died for me and rose, and I repented of my sins and trusted him. Those are the only people that are there. And if you can't say that here, you won't be part of his coming kingdom, period, end of story. That's why Paul said, for me to come to you, I'm not looking for your payment for me to tell you about these eternal truths. It's enough for me to tell you that you must be born again. And let me tell you something. If you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't have that experience. Let me tell you right now, you can have it right in your seat. If you recognize in this moment that you're a sinner, you recognize this moment that you're on your way to hell, but that God loved you so much, he sent his son, Jesus, who died in your place for all your sins, who rose from the dead, and you say right now in your place, Lord, I'm done with sin, and I'm all in with you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. In this moment, he will save you in this place. Isn't that great news? And in him is hope and joy and blessing and peace and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And this is why Paul is saying, I've relinquished my right to be compensated by you because all I care about is that you know Jesus. How about you?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Engaging in Gospel Ministry, exploring how Paul's example teaches us about the sacrifices required in gospel ministry. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.